9:15 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. On this Taco Tuesday, I think I might have some today, some tacos.
It's always a good idea.
Gotta go to Taco Love, man. I haven't been in, man, over a month. A couple of months, maybe. No, about 6 weeks. It's been a long time. Gotta get by there and get some tacos. Danny doesn't work there anymore, so it's kind of deterrent for me to go. No, he doesn't work there anymore. Danny has his own place downtown now.
Really?
I forget the name, but he does have his own spot downtown.
That's cool.
Yeah. Speaking of cool, Ben McDonald's pretty cool.
Yes.
It's awesome. That dude next to him is pretty cool as well. He's going to join us right now. Voice of the Baltimore Orioles on Masson. Kevin Brown, what's up, Kevin?
Wow, I never get called cool. That's really exciting.
You never got called cool? Really?
I mean, I'm literally on a show called The Statcast Show. All I need is a little, you know, front pocket protector. And, I'm fully in line with what I'm supposed to be. I'll take it.
Kevin, I got to throw something your way before we get going, man.
Okay.
Sixth inning.
Oh.
Two outs.
Which was throwing something we just talked about.
How do you get it wrong even after the replay?
I've unfortunately we've seen this before, right? Where they just the replay review center will not overturn something if they're like 90% right. I think they've got to be 100% right, right or wrong. If that call is out on the field, I don't even think the Phillies challenge. I think they look at it and they go, oh, we're not going to have a chance here. But it's the stands versus confirmed thing, you know. It's crazy that inning is an inch away from ending, and the next thing you know, it's an 8-run inning. But it's the stands versus confirmed thing, and, unless MLB is going to invest in more high-def cameras for everybody and more cameras, I think you're going to have stuff like this happen. It's a very non-answer answer. I know.
It's not that. It's just it frustrates me because the technology is here and they ignore it for who knows whatever. Anyway, but it's back to baseball. The trade deadline. Did anyone surprise? I mean, that was a massive flurry of trades.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed that Laureano was gone. I thought they might keep him because he's under control. Did that surprise you? Or did any of the moves surprise you?
A little bit. That one and Ramon Urias were the two that were a little more surprising. Obviously, those guys were under club control for next year. From what Mike said, Mike Elias, it sounds like he was almost a little surprised at the Laureano thing because he was ready to just trade Ryan O'Hearn, I feel like, to the Padres. And then this is kind of what San Diego does, right? San Diego clearly wanted Laureano. I don't think Mike Elias was prepared to trade him, but I think the Padres did what they do, which is they were super aggressive with their offer, and they offered 6 prospects. And it sounds like the lefty Boston Bateman that the Orioles got was somebody they were very high on. I didn't think it was a foregone conclusion by any means, because Laureano certainly could help you next year. But the Orioles, I guess, were swayed by the Padres, who, look, the Padres trade away good players. I mean, they acquire good players, but they've traded away Trey Turner and James Wood and Mackenzie Gore. Like, they are the one team that seems not shy about trading top prospects. And I think the Orioles feel like they got a couple of those. Obviously, time will tell, but I think they had to be blown away to consider trading Laureano. Otherwise, it would have made sense to bring him back. And it sounds like from listening to Mike Elias, they feel like they were blown away.
That's exactly what I heard. I heard they were very aggressive, put a lot of pressure on the Orioles. I guess that's what you mean. Like, you're just by offering an offer you can't refuse.
And to continue on what you're saying, Kevin, how the Padres are so aggressive in the trade, when you hear fans always say, well, you got to go for it if you really want it. The Padres have done that, and it's resulted in one trip to the NLCS. Mm-hmm. They've been ultra aggressive, arguably the most aggressive of anyone, and it has not resulted in the success that you want.
I'm with you, and I think if you want to look at it from the Padres' perspective, well, listen, they've always, not always, but the last several years, they've had interesting competitive teams, right? The fans are engaged. They're the one team in town in San Diego now. They kind of own the city with the Chargers gone. So they're about building a fan base, right? They're about attendance. They're about an energy. And, like, they've gotten that. They also, you're right, have made one trip to the NLCS where I think they lost in five to Philadelphia
yeah.
a couple of years ago. They lost in the first round of the Dodgers last year. They've gotten bounced earlier than they hoped they would every year. And is that worth it? Is it worth the prospects they've given up, right? Is it worth the potential of a future of James Wood and C.J. Abrams and Mackenzie Gore and all these other guys, and now this lefty Boston Bateman? I don't know. I mean, it certainly feels like the pressure is on them again. It kind of feels like the pressure is on them every year to go out and win with these moves they make. But you know, there are different ways to build teams, clearly. And you can try to be super sustainable, or you can do what the Padres do, which is just go for it every year. Now, credit to the Padres. Their player development system must be amazing, because every year they seem to have a top 10 prospect in baseball, and then every year they trade that prospect. But they really go for it. I didn't love the Mason Miller deal by them. They gave up a kid who some folks thought was the number three prospect in baseball. And in Mason Miller, they got somebody I don't think can be a starter at 104, like with an injury history. I just don't believe he's going to last as a future starter. Clearly, they think he is, because they paid a starter premium. So we'll see. If they win the World Series, right, it's worth it. If they do what they keep doing, you know, they're going to be an exciting team that always wins the deadline, whatever that means, and always loses in the first or second round.
There you go. Kevin, what about we go back to the trades. You have all these guys, some beloved veterans are gone, like, you know, Mullins and, you know, Hearn, and all the guys we're talking about. There's a gap, you know, a void left when guys like that leave, because, you know, you get some, you know, grown-ups in the clubhouse that you may not ordinarily have. But now, is there a positive to this where the young guys now have a clear path? And they, what is the bright side of getting rid of all these guys?
I think that's what Tony Manzalino was hoping, and he's talked about that a couple of different times. And he's spoken about the leadership he wants to see out of this group. Jordan Westberg, Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson. You know, even Jackson Holliday's only 21, but he's a very mature 21, haven't been around big league clubhouses his whole life. I think it's kind of the show me moment, right? It's the door is open, right? The stage is fully theirs. And maybe that's a lot of pressure to put on a younger group, a younger core. But it's also reality, right? You can look at it as pressure, or, you know, to quote an old cliche, you can look at it as the privilege. And now these Orioles have been in a clubhouse for a couple of years, some of them even back with Robinson Chirinos and Rougned Odor, many of them with Kyle Gibson and Adam Frazier and James McCann. They've seen what leadership looks like and what it feels like. And ultimately, I think if the Orioles are going to have the long run that they hope they're going to have, like, that's the group that's going to lead them there. That's going to be the core. So it's, I don't want to keep leaning into cliches. It almost feels like a put up or shut up kind of moment, right? It's their time now. And what the Orioles want them to do is to lead in the ways they see is best fit to lead. You've got 2 months. Look, this team is obviously pretty far back from a playoff spot, but there's a lot of great stuff that can happen in these 2 months. These are 2 months that can set the stage and set the tone for next year. And I think the players who know they're going to be here next year, who are under contract for several years, have the opportunity to take the reins. So I'm excited to see them try and to see them kind of grow into their own voice here a little bit.
All right. Hey, Kevin, get us some runs tonight, all right?
You looking at me?
Yeah, get us some runs, man. Come on.
How am I supposed to do that?
Do your broadcasting miracle work. Speak it into existence. I mean, you stop a lot of no-hitters. I mean, you can get some runs.
Oh, my God. I'll have you know, by the way, I have been on the call for 5 no-hitters in my career.
You probably didn't speak about them. That's why.
No, I did.
All right.
I did. I lean in.
You are the man. Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Can I tell you, by the way,
you said what?
I knew you'd be watching. I was so nervous last night because I had the Phillies on the StatCast show Sunday night, and Trey Turner's had this bizarre season where he has 11 home runs on the road and none at home, even though this is a great home run hitting park.
Uh-huh.
And the whole night on the StatCast show, we talked about it, and he didn't hit one. And I was kind of hoping he would hit one on Sunday, because then I wouldn't have to talk about it yesterday. But then he didn't hit one, so I knew I had to talk about it yesterday. And every Trey Turner at bat, I'm like, he hasn't homered at home yet. And I'm just thinking, oh, God, please don't hit one. So I get a text from Rob immediately. And he didn't hit one. So I haven't jinxed it for two nights running.
You know you get one.
You know, if he hits one today or tomorrow, just remember, I'm two for two.
And hold on, before I go out there, what's up with the Talladega Nights thing, man? Come on.
I don't know. We're talking about the Ben, game at the Speedway.
He and Ben did an entire 5 minutes, which is a long time, on Talladega Nights quotes.
I think not long enough, honestly. I'll be wearing a tuxedo t-shirt later to the game. It's informal, and I like the party.
Help me, Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, my God. Don't do that. Hey, Kevin, thanks a lot, my man.
You guys are welcome. See, I'm cool.